Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. People enjoy the RV lifestyle for many reasons. Some like to travel on sightseeing adventures, while others like to travel for a specific purpose. Today we'll talk with a millennial RVer who travels around the nation working jobs to help clean up storm debris when disaster strikes. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. For the past 9 years, MacIver Halad has found a work camping niche. He's a storm chaser of sorts who travels around America to areas impacted by natural disasters and finds jobs helping to remove storm debris. He drives a modified log truck and finds debris on or near highways, picks up the fallen trees or other objects, lifts them onto the truck, and hauls them away to a dump. He's also a whiz at operating chainsaws to help clear debris. He bought his own motorhome in February. Prior to that, he would use RVs with his dad or stay in hotels in the disaster areas. It sounds like tough work, but MacIver loves the freedom working outdoors offers, even when the circumstances are less than ideal. It's the idea of helping others in a strenuous situation that gives him a sense of purpose. Having his own house on wheels is a big plus in an area where thousands of people might be looking for temporary shelters. He can also go anywhere on a whim where his skills are needed the most. Like other millennials, he realizes that the scope of work has changed and he's embracing what's called the gig economy, where people work short-term jobs and then move on. There are some other benefits to work camping that I'll let him describe, so please welcome MacIver Halad to the show. For today's episode, we have an interview with a fellow who has been work camping, and that is MacIver Halad, and he is right now in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, helping out with some family members who are going through some... Let me start that over. Hang on. For this section of the show, we are going to talk with a work camper who has been working for a while doing debris cleanup after storms. His name is MacIver Halad, and right now he's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Greg.
Sure. What kinds of work camping do you do?
The main work camping that I've done in the past is storm debris cleanup.
And that involves taking down trees and rebuilding houses, that type of thing?
I don't really do the rebuilds. Normally, we work under FEMA contracts. I know people that have trucks. My dad has a truck. I've worked with him a good bit, and I've worked with others as well. But it'll have a big box truck, kind of like a modified log truck with a grapple on it. And we go and... anything that's on the side of the road in the right-of-way, we grab it, throw it in the box, and haul it to the dump.
So. Sounds like it would involve a chainsaw.
Yes. I have a lot of experience with a chainsaw.
And how long have you been doing this kind of debris cleanup?
On and off, let's see, 8 years since I was 19.
Okay. Well, that's good. So you got some experience doing this?
Hang on. Let's see. Go back to freshman 18.
So okay.
9 years. Yeah.
9 years. Very good. And how do you find these jobs typically?
Well, what normally happens is I watch the news and I see a hurricane has hit or tornado touchdown. There was a bad blizzard ice storm. Summer of 2018, there was actually a microburst, which is a very small concentrated thunderstorm, in Connecticut. We went and worked that, but we find out, you watch the news and you see, okay, there's this storm here. Well, you go through and you find out what connections you have that are in that area, or you call people, you know, that you've worked with in the past and find out if they have connections. And eventually you either get into the job or you don't. That's kind of,
that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now you're primarily working for contractors under the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA.
Yeah, I work for subcontractors that are subcontracted underneath another subcontractor. American shell game.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Exactly. And how long have you been RVing?
I finally bought my own motorhome just this past February. And before that, I lived in RVs whenever I went on storms with my dad. I've also done a lot of hotel. It's basically the same deal.
Sure. What do you like most about the work camping experience so far?
The freedom.
The freedom to work anywhere?
I can't stand the same four walls. That's not something I can do.
Right.
I enjoy going and seeing. Also, there's a lot of really great food in this country, and you have to travel to eat all of it.
Exactly. I noticed that when I was full-timing for a couple of years, is that's the best part about doing this on-the-road stuff, is getting to try all these different cultures, foods, and things that are unique to that part of the country.
Yep, my dad, he's been doing the storm debris cleanup for, decades now, I guess 2 decades close to it. And he gets asked the question, you know, what's your favorite place? He said, Texas. So, like, Texas? Why is that? He said, because every state, every county, every city that I go to, I pick up stuff on the side of the road, put it in a box, go to a place, throw it out, do that again a dozen times a day. The only difference is the food.
Is the food. Very good. You talked about freedom. Is that the freedom to pick any job that you want that you can get your hands on? Or is it the freedom to work like one project, know that it's done, and then move on to a different project in an entirely different part of the country if you'd like?
It's multi-tiered. I don't like working in the same spot for too long. I like to travel around and see the world while I'm young. And there's the other thing of financial freedom. I don't have rent. I don't have a mortgage. You know, I don't have a cable bill that I'm paying in an empty house. You know, I've got my RV, and it was only in February when I went full-time. I actually had gotten evicted while I was on the road.
Oh, because you weren't there to pay the rent.
No, I was there. I was not there, but I was paying. The roommate I was sending the money to was not.
Oh, no. Well, then.
And he'll probably be listening to this when it comes out. And I just want to say, hey, Max, it's all good, buddy. It's all good. It was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's neat. And so that kind of flexibility to be on your own, and you're relatively young. You're under 30, right? So that makes you rather unique in the work camping environment, because many folks are in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, or even older than that. And so being younger, I'm hearing that this is something that many of the millennial generation are really aspiring to, is that kind of a nomadic freedom lifestyle and being able to support themselves, work in odd jobs wherever they can get them.
Exactly.
Have you met any?
We already live in a gig economy wherever we live at. You know, I've got friends that they drive for Uber, they deliver for DoorDash or Grubhub or whatever. And I think with me getting into it, a couple of them have finally moved on to the point of, hey, I could do this in any city. Why am I doing it here?
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's relatively easy to find these kind of jobs by just following the news and seeing where the big storm hit, or where the tornado or the earthquake or whatever it was is, and just show up, because people are always going to be looking for workers? Or does it have to be part of an organized group of contractors?
Normally what happens, people that are working in my field they either have worked in it before or they are working with the contractor before they go on the storm.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say every federal job, and every county job, city job, state job, all of that, they all have what's called monitors. And monitors are basically a third party that are there to make sure that you're not stealing from the government, making sure you're not committing fraud, making sure you're not, mm-hmm. you know, cutting trees past the right of way and all of that. And I know people in that line of work, and they make pretty good money.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people in that line of work that they are work campers, even though, you know, they may not be members of any specific site or anything, but I've got friends that have, you know, that do that. They travel around and they go and work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. And do you, because you're a solo work camper doing this pretty much on your own, do you have any perks, or are you just living off of what you earn? Like, do you get free camping?
Campsites are always provided, lodging, all of that, whenever I go to work. Just because, you know, how else are they going to get us out there?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the more expensive parts of going to work at some place, is being able to stay there and live there.
Well, especially in areas that have been devastated by a big storm. You know, a lot of houses are down, hotels are down, etc. The premium for places to stay is high, and so having an RV and being able to live in a campground, I would think, would give you even more flexibility and make it even more desirable to hire somebody like you.
Mm-hmm. And like, you look at when we were working in Wilmington, North Carolina, and the surrounding areas just this past winter from Hurricane Florence. When we got there, we didn't have a campsite. You know, we had some other guys, they were staying there. They rented out a condo or whatever. But there weren't any campgrounds really that were up and running when we got there. So we just stayed at the I'm trying to come up with the proper term, the DMS, the debris management site. That's where we go. Normally the prime contractor will find a spot of land that's empty and, you know, pay the owner X amount to lease it. But we would stay there, you mm-hmm. know, get the generators out and find a place to get fresh water. Normally, restaurant or a gas station, and people are always willing to help us out when you tell them what you're doing there.
In addition to these kind of sporadic, although there seem to be a lot happening somewhere all the time, but it's not really regular work, you would be open to working some other more permanent jobs. Have you considered doing some of those through work camping?
Yes. Like right now, I'm sort of staying, I'm staying available. Just picking up odd small jobs here and there in case another major hurricane actually does hit U.S. soil. Cause I'll have to, you know, I don't want to have to put in a notice. I'd rather just be able to pick up and go.
Mm-hmm.
But if one doesn't happen by like mid-October or, you know, whenever the time is, I'll probably stay in Tuscaloosa for, you know, a couple of seasons, get a job and just save up some money.
Okay.
And, you know, if something happens while that's going on, then yeah, I'll pick up and go. But, as far as, traveling around to somewhere more permanent, it'd have to be somewhere beautiful, like Yellowstone, Yosemite, you know, something great like that. I would definitely consider going to.
Okay. Now, you have noted that, when we were talking before we started the interview, that there have been some challenges that you faced, that you wish you could bring to the attention of work camper employers? And one of them is the fact that you're a single guy. And have you found some pushback on that? Because many of them are hiring couples or looking for couples only.
Yeah, some of the things that I would like to go to a campground and be a front desk / maintenance guy somewhere. But they're always looking for couples because they get, you know, that two for one.
Twice the work for one site.
Space that they give.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, as somebody with goals down the line, I can't go work somewhere that's just FHU. You know, I've got to have some sort of money coming in, but normally those kinds of jobs are in the majority of my searches. When I found jobs like that, it's jobs where they're looking for a couple to come to a campground and, you know, normally have the lady be the face and the fella be the maintenance and back everybody in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it difficult as just to, you know, I'm just one guy. I've got two small dogs and I just want to go places, see interesting stuff and make some money while I'm doing it.
Okay. Okay. So we're hoping that work campers, take that into consideration. You'll work twice as hard to get a job.
I mean, three or four times, if that's what we're going with.
Okay, there you go. Super. Another area that you expressed concern about was that you're not often treated fairly, you think, because of the way you look. You apparently have some tattoos or piercings that make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, I have a couple of... hang on, I'm going to pause and restart that. Yeah, I have visible tattoos. I have snake bites, which are two rings in my bottom lip. And I did have long hair that I had dyed blue, and because that's what I wanted to do. I didn't do this kind of stuff when I was 18 and trying to be rebellious. I did this because this is who I feel I am. I want to project who I am on the inside to the outside. And I don't want to say it's discrimination, but because there are plenty of people that are disenfranchised that, you know, that word is more reserved for them. But I have been looked over and told that they were looking for somebody different when they see a picture that's attached to my resume.
Okay. Okay.
it makes it difficult for... To get hospitality jobs. I won't mention any employers by name, but certain hospitality places and certain family fun places have denied me based on the, you know, how I look.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd be willing to take my piercings out for a shift and put them back in. I'd be willing to wear like a long sleeve Under Armour underneath a work shirt or stuff like that. I'm willing to be accommodating.
Okay. So you're a team player.
You can't have that shirt because it's against the dress code or whatever.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you would hope that employers would be a little bit more accommodating in that regard and be willing to work with you that you'd be willing to work with them to cover up some of those things, to make it more presentable or meet their standard for dress code or whatever the case might be. You just wish the employees would give you a chance.
Exactly. Okay. It's all we want is a chance.
That's right. Okay. So what you said after this current gig ends, where you're hanging out with some family members right now, you're hoping to move back in the Florida or the East Coast area. If there are more storms that are headed back here, otherwise, do you have any dreams as to the dream position that you have or would like to see?
the only dream I have is by the time I'm 40, I want to open up an animal rescue.
Oh, okay.
So Yeah, so to have a dream job that goes along with that, it's not, you know, I'm not looking for a place that I'm going to go and work till I'm 62 and get a check for the rest of my life. I'm basically taking my retirement early, because once I start the animal rescue, that's going to be what I do until I die.
Okay.
So I'm mainly just looking for good work, good pay, and exciting places.
Okay.
That's all I'm looking for.
Super. So you may be looking at a place, you're hoping that there'll be some place that might hire you as a work camper to work with animals directly, to give you some of that experience.
Yeah. There was actually one, I believe it was in Montana. I saw an ad wanting work campers to work on a cattle ranch. And I would obviously have to get in way better shape, but that would be one of those things of like, yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Go and work with cows. I understand they're mainly going to just be killed for food, but mm-hmm. I love steak. So I'd love to go there and make sure those cows are happy and healthy until they right. do serve a higher purpose.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, let's see if we can't find some of those positions through Work Camper and make them available to people. That'd be a really good idea. So do you have any final advice for people who would like to consider becoming a work camper, especially younger folks?
No one's going to do it for you. You have to grab it for yourself. I know I sound like an old person when I say that, but
you're right.
When I got evicted, I took what I was going to pay for the rest of my lease, bought an RV, boom, done. Now I don't spend money on rent. I can go and follow my dreams and chase after that spark that keeps me going. So
very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Halad. Thank you so much, MacGyver. I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about your experience, and I wish you the best of luck this winter and going into 2020.
Thank you, Greg.
I've talked to people who've had some incredible work camping jobs, but I think MacGyver Halad's experience is one of my favorite stories. While other people are running away from major storms and other disasters, MacGyver is running toward the area to help people and communities recover quickly. With tattoos, piercings, and blue hair, MacGyver isn't a typical work camper, but that hasn't stopped him from finding ways to support his love for travel by applying his skills in ways that make money and provide a true sense of purpose. He's traveling the country and saving money in hopes of finding a place to settle down in a few years to open an animal rescue facility. He's like me in that he loves to visit different areas of the country to enjoy the exquisite cuisines of that particular region. It's truly one of the best perks of full-time RVing. I wish MacGyver the best of luck as he pursues his dream, and if he can do it, you can too. Whether it's running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for today's show. Join us again next week when we explore another work camping opportunity. This one involves selling wine for a company called Prairie Berry Winery in South Dakota. Talk about a job with perks. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Work Camper Show.